Good morning, everybody. Oh, we're louder in this room. How's everybody doing today? Has everybody got turkey coma still going on? Everybody's wide awake? Awesome. Well, it's good to be here today. Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. I know I did. I ate way too much. We spent Thanksgiving on Thursday with the McGinnises, and if you guys know the McGinnises, when they spread out their food, it's food everywhere, and it was awesome. And so I ate too much there. Then Friday night we had everybody over our house to watch movies, and then I ate again there. So now I need to go. I need to start my beginning of the year diet now, so I can get ready for Christmas. Let's go ahead. Let's start out with a prayer. It's good to have everybody back who is back in town. I know today we're a little bit shy on some people because a lot of the campus are still out for the holidays. But it's good all you guys can be here today. So let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you so much, God, for how much you love us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a great holiday season that we can just think about all the things that we're thankful for. And I know it's just been so encouraging hearing and seeing even people posting things on Facebook and things that they're just thankful for. And God, I know that each one of us have so much, God. When we think about our relationship with you, we think about the relationships that we enjoy with each other. God, we just have so much to be grateful for and thankful for. And Father, today I pray that your Spirit would really light up this room. Help us, God, to really show each other, even in the fellowship today, how thankful we are for what you've given us. And Father, just please make this a great day. Please be with all those that are not here today. Help them to be safe. Help them to be encouraging to their families. And Father, help them to get home safely. God, we love you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're talking, we're still doing the One Another series. I know it's been kind of hit and miss because we've had a lot of people come in and preach, but I was encouraged by all the different people we've had over the last month preaching. We're still talking about one another relationships. We're talking about how we can have the kind of relationships, the kind of relationships that God talks about in the Bible. And so I hope today that you know that's what you're longing for, is you want those kind of relationships. You want to have the relationship that Jesus has intended for you. And so today we're going to be talking about confessing sins to one another. And I know right away you go, wow, some of the other things about relationships are so encouraging. And now we're going to talk about confessing sins? Is that really encouraging? But I really think that we will see through the scriptures that it is encouraging, that this is something that really God gives us to really make our relationships so much better. And so I know for me, when I was, especially as a young Christian, but really all through my Christianity, I've had to, you know, really ask myself, am I the kind of person that just easily confesses things in my life? And the answer is no. And that's one thing I've had to learn about myself, because I grew up in a family where emotions and things you're dealing with, things you're feeling, were just not talked about. And so I never really had a safe place. I never really had a place where I could just kind of spill out what I was feeling, you know? And so I had to kind of keep it all in for many, many years, all the way up until I became a Christian. Then when I became a Christian, I was given this, you know, opportunity to confess to people. I was like, whoa, wait a minute there. That means that people are going to know who I am. And this was so different for me, and really something even to this day that I have to pray all the time, that I am continue to be an open person, because that's what I want to be. And I believe that a lot of us struggle with the same thing, right? A lot of us, when we think about confessing, you know, depending on a lot how you've grown up, you're going to either be somebody that just, you know, wears everything out on your sleeve, or you're the kind of person who has so much built up inside of you because you never had that opportunity to be open. So we're going to see today how important this is for us to have in our one another relationships. And so I don't know what comes to your mind. You know, you might think of, oh, the confession booth. You know, and confession is this time where I talk to a strange guy, and it's just hard because I don't know who he is, and I don't know what he's going to think, and you know, I don't know what comes to your mind. You know, maybe it's something that you just don't, you want to stay far away from. But today we're going to really learn how crucial it is in our relationships. So first scripture we're going to look at, turn your Bibles over to James in chapter 5. A lot of us know this scripture, at least part of it. James chapter 5, in verse 13, it says, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." And so a lot of us know this scripture. And, you know, the first part talks about something we're very familiar with. Because I think most people in this room, we're praying people, right? And we like to pray, and we believe in the power of prayer, because prayer is something, you know, we see in many different scriptures, and we've experienced the good things that come from praying and praying for each other. And so when we look at this scripture, it's really easy to get that part. But then we get to the second part in verse 16. It says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other." You know, and so I'm going to ask you the same question. How easy is it for you to confess the things that are going on in your life? You know, are you a person that's closed? Are you a person that just spits it all out and doesn't really care what other people think? You know, because I know in a room like this, we have all the way to the very closed person, to the very open person, and then we have everybody in between. And we all fit in there somewhere. And I want to ask yourself today, how comfortable do you feel in the area of confession in your life? You know, it says here that confession, we already see it's encouraging, because it says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." See, what confession does is confession to others, along with prayer, brings healing in our life. It brings healing. Now, just a kind of a side note, healing is different than forgiveness, but we all need, how many of us in this room sin? Right? So maybe there's some one or two people that didn't have your hand up, and so I just wanted to know how you do it. But all of us sin, right? And so all of us have things in our life that we need a healing from. Because what happens, I remember in my life just growing up, there were so many things that even to today I deal with, because I built up so much sin and so much anger and so much hatred and the things before I was a Christian, that those things built up in my heart. And when I became a Christian, it was a time of healing. For the first time, I got to talk about the things that were on my heart. I got to really expose and really let other people in, because my life was more like just this closed glass thing around me where nobody could get in. And I'd put on a show. I'd be like, "Hey, everything's all right." And I put a happy smile on my face. But the reality was, there was so much that needed to go on in my heart. There was so much healing that needed to take place in my life. So all of us, we need to be healed. Amen? And so when we don't allow that to come out, what we do is and this is why I think confession is positive, because we all want to be healed. We all want that feeling like, you know, I'm progressing. I got this struggle or this sin in my life, and I'm trying to get better, and I'm trying to grow. You know, this it helps us. And that's why I think this is very positive, that confession brings healing in our life. But the problem is sometimes we do not want to be open about things in our life. And let's look at, this is in Psalm 66 in verse 18. It says, "If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer." You know, what this scripture seems to imply is that God listens to our prayers when we don't cherish and keep that sin in our heart. that he listens. And I don't know about you, but think about the last time that you've held sin in your life. How hard is it even for you to pray? I think sometimes it's not even so much God's not going to listen. I think it's harder for me to really talk to God because I'm feeling so much guilt. I'm feeling so much pain about the things that I've done that were wrong, the things, the sin that I've gotten into. And so, you know, it says here that we should not cherish sin in our heart. Proverbs 28 and verse 13, it says, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. You know, I don't know about you, but I like to prosper in my life. I want to prosper in my spiritual life. I want to prosper in my relationship. I want to prosper in my relationship mainly with God. And this scripture says here that when I conceal, we all know what concealed means, right? It's like when you hold a concealed weapon, it's you got it hidden somewhere. It's in your pocket, and nobody can see it. And sometimes we do that. We walk around with this sin just piled up in our heart, and we're feeling like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to talk to anybody about where I'm at. I don't know if I really want to tell people who I really am, because I think all of us in some way have a fear of letting people know who we really are. And so it says here that if we want to prosper, that God's going to bring us this prosperous, if we don't conceal the sin. Okay, so it's very important that we do not keep the sin bundled up in our heart. It's very important because what happens over time when you allow sin to sit there in your heart, what happens is our heart just gets hardened. It gets hardened. And that's not a good place to be, walking around with a hard heart. You know, and really what it comes down to, and we've looked at this scripture before. I know I'm going through a lot of scriptures here. We'll come back to a bigger scripture here in a minute. But in 1 Peter 5, it says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. I mean, let's just be real. The reason we don't like letting people into our life, the reason I don't like letting people into my life, is because I have pride. And it says here, you know, it kind of goes along with this scripture that when you conceal your sins, you're not going to prosper. Here it says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. You know, so when I ask you that question, how easy for is it to let other people know what's going on in your life? The question I'm really asking is, are you humble? Are you humble or are you prideful? And do you conceal the things that are going on in your life? Now, this concept is all so different than the world, right? Because when we look around our world that we live in, you don't see people at your work coming up to you and go, hey, Ken, you know, I just want to tell you what's going on in my life right now because I really know you care about me. That doesn't happen. Now, Ken probably does because he's a disciple, but that doesn't happen where people feel that at work. Like, it's just not a normal thing that people do. And some people could look at this is crazy. Why would you want to let people know what's going on in your life? You know, but we don't want God to oppose us. We want to walk in a humble state before the Lord. And so, you know, there's nobody that's going to make us be open. No one's going to make me be open with my life. But I think the thing I got to see is there's so much benefit to it that God is going to show favor to me when I'm humble. You know, and sometimes we think, well, I can just store this stuff in my heart and nobody knows what's going on. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, it says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. You know, the crazy thing is sometimes we think, well, we can just kind of hide from everybody. We can hide. No one's going to know. If I got into this big sin, maybe I looked at something on the internet I shouldn't have been looking at. Maybe I had this attitude towards this brother or sister that nobody knows about. You know, I could just kind of keep this to myself, and I don't need to talk to anybody about it. But the thing that we got to remember is God already knows what's going on in our life. Why would we walk around as a liar telling people everything's okay when God already knows? And I think sometimes we put more emphasis on we give more power to people than we do to God. You know, and then in this scripture in Galatians, it talks about that. This is Galatians 1. It says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. This scripture says that when we try to please people over God, it says that we would not even be the servant of Christ. You know, and I think sometimes we put too much power in man. So the question I have is, when it comes to confession, do I fear man more than I fear God? Do I fear man more than I fear God? I mean, this is a real thing, because I know for me, it took me, and I still sometimes in the back of my mind wonder what somebody's going to think about me when I'm open with a sin. But I remember times where I would just conceal my sin because I didn't want anybody to think badly upon me. I didn't want people to think, oh man, that guy who's helping me, he's just a messed up guy. I didn't want people to think, well, maybe they'll take me out of this role of leading, or maybe they'll something, you know, somebody, if that person looks at me, they might, I don't know, they just won't like me anymore, maybe, if they know who I really, really am deep down in my heart. But the question is did I fear those people more than I feared God? You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that I have no power over anybody. And none of us have no power over each other. And sometimes we put so much emphasis and so much thought into that. That person has so much power. We build people up to almost be God sometimes. We get so afraid to be open with our life. We get so afraid to just tell people, hey, this is who I am. And you know, I just need some help. I just need help. But sometimes we think, well, you know, I can't do that because they're gonna retaliate in some way. But I don't know. The one that I want to be more fearful of is God and His power. And if God says to do this, why am I so fearful of what man says? And so we've got to really think about that. Think about that in your life. When you think about the last time you needed to confess something, I think sometimes we think confession is only for the big stuff, right? We think, well, if I murdered somebody, I'm going to go and confess that I've done that. But the reality is that on a daily basis, everybody sins, right? On a daily basis, we all fall short of the glory of God. We need to have that healing going on in our life all the time. But we got to make sure that we don't fear man more than we fear God. Because God's the one that holds the power. God's the one. When I hear the story, even what Rick shared today, I think God is so powerful. Because He could turn a man like Rick into a disciple in his past life. You know, when you hear it, and he just told you probably a little bit of what all his experiences in life. And I go, the only way that could happen is because of Jesus Christ. And if we put more power in man than we do in the one that can really change us, then we put ourselves in a bad position. We can't fear man more than we fear God. 1 John. This is our last scripture today, because I figured you guys were eating lots of turkey and you'd be falling asleep about halfway through. So, but I want to show you really how encouraging it is that we get the opportunity to confess, because I was always so afraid of it. Instead of seeing it that God set this up for me. He set this up for me, we've already learned, so I can be healed. And then we see in 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. You know, the thing that sticks out to me right there, it says that if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And I think there's something about when people become Christians, we think, when I came into the kingdom, I really thought that people around me, no one else sinned anymore. You know, I looked at these people because I came from the world, and I looked around these people around me, and they appeared like, wow, because they were really trying to work on the sin. So compared to who I was, they looked as if they didn't have any sin. But the reality is that every single one of us sin, probably on a daily basis. And we need to be aware of that, because sometimes we think, well, you know, and this is for the person confessing. We need to realize that, because if I'm confessing to somebody, I know that I can feel okay because I know that the other person sins too, right? So I don't need to be worried. But I think sometimes even the person listening to us confessing, you know, I've seen people, and this is what you never want to do when someone confesses to you. They're telling you what they're going to go, oh, really? I've had people do that to me. And I'm telling you, we got to make sure that we are humble in every situation. If we're the one listening to someone confessing, we need to understand that I sin just as much as the other person. So who am I to go, oh, you know, like so surprised that that person was in some kind of sin? You know, there's no surprise. There's no surprise that we sin, because all of us, we can't claim to be without sin, because if we do that, what we do is we just deceive ourselves. And it says the truth is not in us. I don't want to have the truth not in me, you know. And it says that we've got to just be real about who we are, you know. And this needs to be something that's common in our Christian walk. I think sometimes we're so used to getting together and hanging out and having a good time with each other. You know, we'll go out and let's have D time, and we'll go out and we'll, you know, discipleship time, and we'll go out and we'll just go watch a movie, and we'll think, and that's fine once in a while. But I think sometimes we need to allow people to have the opportunity to talk. And not everybody may talk as much as you talk, so therefore you just can't expect them like, oh, they'll tell me if they want. Sometimes people just need, how you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? You know, let me talk about my life. And I tell you, the best way to hear other people's confession is by you confessing first. Because again, every single one of us have sin, you know. And so this scripture is really awesome, because it does talk a lot about our relationships in this scripture as well. And so it talks about walking in the light. Well, walking in the light, you know, really these are two almost duplicate sentences here, the top and the bottom of there, you know. And the first one says walk in the light, the bottom one says confessing our sins. They're really the same thing. So walking in the light is the same thing as confessing your sins. And all of us want to walk in the light, right? I don't think we're here today at church because we desire to walk in darkness. We desire. It's a given. We all desire that. We want to walk in the light. But that also is the same thing as being open with our life and confessing and letting people know who we are. Okay? And what that brings, according to that scripture, is it brings on righteousness. You know, it leads to righteousness. Then the blood of Jesus, he purifies. Isn't this purification happens over and over? It's not like you get purified only because you confess. But it says in that scripture that we get the blood of Jesus purifies us. And we all want to be righteous. Amen? And then what it says is that righteousness, it leads to fellowship. It leads to the koinonia, which is the word that's actually used in that last scripture that we looked at, is it leads to fellowship. Did you know that without confession, we cannot have biblical fellowship? Without confession. Because you think about it, what makes our relationship different than the rest of the world? The difference is that we, number one, we have Jesus, but because of that, we also have this relationship with one another where we can be open, where we can be vulnerable, where we can talk about things, where we can be in a safe environment so that we can talk and really be real about who we are. So when I think about how encouraging is confession, confession ultimately leads to fellowship. So how can I look at confession as a bad thing? I want to start looking at confession as something that's really, really awesome, that's really, really encouraging, because it allows me to have the relationships with all of you. And it allows you to have the relationship with each other in every great direction. We cannot have a biblical fellowship. And for those of you who don't remember what koinonia is the Greek word, and what it means, it's a partnership, a deep involvement in sharing together in the common life. You know, we get to share together in the common life. We get to share together in this deep involvement and this partnership. Don't you feel that partnership in the church? It's awesome. Because we look and we say, when I think about all the things the church has to do, and I just think, wow, someone's doing that and someone's doing it. I don't even have to ask that person to do that because we're all in this together. And so without fellowship, none of this is possible. But without confession, none of this is possible. But because we can confess and we can walk in the light, we get to enjoy the koinonia, the fellowship that we have. Amen? So confession is mandatory for our Christian fellowship, or for us to have koinonia, right? Without it, we don't get that. So sometimes we think, well, confession is this bad thing and this hard thing to do. And we look at it as, well, sometimes this is more of an optional thing as part of me being a Christian. No, it's not optional, because if you want to enjoy in the fellowship and have that kind of relationship with people, we need to be open with each other. Now, think about all your friends. Are your best friends the ones that don't know you? Think about that. Are your best friends the ones that you've never really been open with your life with? I would guess that nobody's best friend is that person. Our best friends are the ones where we really, truly, deeply know each other. And through knowing each other, we develop more of a love for each other. And that's really what confession is all about, is we need to open up and help each other. And we're talking about relationships. We need to have this kind of thing going on in this church. Confession doesn't need to be the thing that's kind of, you know, oh, some people do that and it's kind of off to the side. Confession needs to be something that each one of us take on and say, you know what? I'm just going to wear my life out on my sleeve. Everybody's going to know who I am. I'm going to create opportunity to talk to my brothers and sisters about where I'm at, and not just let it sit there. And so confession is mandatory for a Christian fellowship. Some vital lessons we learn, and then we'll close out here. Sin is a reality, even in Christ. I mean, let's be real. You know, when I said who sinned, everybody said they sinned, right? The only person, if you didn't sin, we'd be coming to church. We'd put you right up here in front, and we'd pray to you because you'd be Jesus, right? Because Jesus is the only one that doesn't sin. And so sin is a reality. And we need to see it like that. And we need to understand it like that. Sometimes we don't want to confess our sins, but because we're so afraid of what that person's going to say. Or we can look at it as, if I'm open, maybe I can get some healing from that. Maybe that person may not have all the answers, but they can pray for me. And the prayer is of a righteous man is powerful and effective, right? That's what the scripture said earlier. So sin is a reality. We just better get used. We have to get used to being open with our life. Christ has freed us to be real. You know, we don't need to put on a mask anymore. None of us, because Jesus laid down his life for us, none of us have a need any longer to put on a mask. Our sin was the thing that put Jesus on the cross. So we better be very comfortable with thinking about our sin and being open with it, because we don't want to hurt Jesus anymore. And so Christ really frees us up. It gives us the ability and the fellowship in this room where we can just go to people and we can talk and we can be open about who we are. We should not be shocked or disillusioned when someone confesses, okay? No more, no, you know. But realize that all of us need each other. All of us need these relationships where we help each other and we're in there and talking about who we are. And the sooner we can talk, we can walk in the light, the sooner we confess, the better. Don't let sin go, especially through these holidays. The holidays can be very rough on a lot of people. I mean, just from my experience and seeing other people, the holidays is a time of joy and family and all that kind of stuff. But holidays also are a time when you may have a little bit more time on your hands. Holidays are also a time when it brings up, I know for me, even talking to my family, it starts bringing up some memories and different things in my life. You know, it brings up different feelings, the holidays, that we don't normally experience. And the tendency is that we will probably fall into more, a little bit more sin during this time. So we need to be extra open. Don't hold on to it through the holiday season thinking, well, I'll just wait until I come back home. I'll wait for another month or whatever until school gets back. And, you know, that's when I'll confess to somebody about my sin. But then do you want to walk around being burdened by that sin in your heart? You know, the sooner we walk in the light, the sooner we do it, the better. Amen? No, that's the next song. I want to close out just with a little illustration of a confession. But I hope you guys see today, confession is a good thing. Confession is a powerful thing, right? Because it brings us healing. Confession is an encouraging thing because it brings us and allows us to have the relationships, the one another relationships that we get to enjoy in the church. Let me read this story to you. After hearing a sermon on confession, a man approached his pastor with a heavy conscience. He asked the pastor what he should do. He worked for a boat builder and had gotten into the habit of stealing expensive brass nails. He could not tell the boat builder. He would lose his job, or the boss would think he was a hypocrite, and all the times he had shared his faith would go to waste. Finally, guilt got so bad he had to confess. He allowed it to stick in his heart. Upon hearing this, the pastor advised him to confess his sin to his boss, regardless of the consequences, and to offer to make restitution, no matter how long it took. He heeded the pastor's advice, and this was the boss's response. "Sir, I always did think you were just a hypocrite, but now I begin to feel there's something in this Christianity after all. Any religion that would make a dishonest workman come back and confess that he had been stealing copper nails and offer to settle for them must be worth having. God always blesses humility." Amen. Let's become a church that's wide open. Let's be very vulnerable with who we are. Let's make sure that we go through the holiday season just letting people know and confessing. And through this time, we'll even build our relationships even stronger. Amen.